Welcome to Zion Teacher Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an internationally known Bible teacher and prolific author of over 40 books, which have been translated into more than 25 languages. In his over 50 years of ministry, Dr. Bailey has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, Bible schools, pastors' conferences, and leadership seminars. Dr. Bailey is currently president of Zion Fellowship International and senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Waverly, New York, overlooking O'Brien's Restaurant and Hotel. He is also president of Zion Ministerial Institute and Zion University, which has over 30 affiliated Bible schools worldwide. In today's edition of Zion Teacher Series, Dr. Bailey will address the subject of King David. David epitomized the life, nature, and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He establishes a pattern that instructs us on how we can reign as kings and priests with the Lord today and throughout eternity. Let us open our hearts and receive all that God has for us through His Word.
Welcome again to our studies on the lives of the two kings who are perhaps the most well known in the history of mankind, David and Solomon. You might say, well, what about Alexander the Great? How does he fit in? Well, Alexander the Great was quite different from David and Solomon. David and Solomon were anointed by God. Alexander the Great, I think, was perhaps the king that Christ was thinking of when he said, you can gain the whole world but lose your own soul. You know, there are many ditties sung even today concerning Alexander the Great. And it goes something like this. You know, he was King of Kings, Lord of Asia, but he lost his own soul. You know, Christ said, what is it? Profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul. No, Alexander the Great cannot be compared to these two wonderful men, David and Solomon. David, anointed of God three times, he was called of God, he was chosen of God, and he was faithful. Well, David had a son. He had many sons, actually, but Solomon was a son that God chose to become the next king of the United Kingdom of Israel. There were actually only three kings who ruled over the United Kingdom of Israel. Saul, who apostatized, David, who was faithful, and then Solomon, who manifested all such great wisdom and glory. But we want to concentrate on Solomon during these next episodes. And Solomon, of course, was born of David and Bathsheba. You know, David and Bathsheba had committed adultery. David even went so far as to order the killing of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. And of course, God was wrathful against David. There were 15 judgments that God instigated against David because of his sin. But, you know, so many people say to me, well, Pastor, our parents, my parents, oh, they were alcoholic, or they were, not only drunken, but immoral and so forth. And what hope is there for me? Well, David and Bathsheba had a very poor beginning, of course. But God is the God of restoration. And He brought out of this miserable and immoral, adulterous situation a son whom He loved. And He called him Jedidiah, the beloved of the Lord. So God can turn around even the most miserable backgrounds and bring forth someone who is, if I could say this, after His own heart. Another instance of this in the history, in much later history of Israel, was Manasseh, a very wicked man. And he got restored, and then he had a son, Ammon, who was very wicked. But from this wicked son, there came one of the most desirable men in the whole history of mankind, Josiah. And Josiah had been promised of God for over 350 years. And the point I want to bring out here is this. Look, your background can be terrible, but God can bring forth a vessel of honor unto His name. So this is actually what happened with the case of David and Bathsheba. God gave them a son, Solomon. And we're going to look at this son, Solomon. It is true, of course, that he was born of David and Bathsheba from an adulterous situation, and therefore they knew full well that he had, if I could say this, many weaknesses in his nature due to their lives. And so we're going to look at Solomon from four aspects. First of all, his formation as a king. And then what he's noted for, wisdom. Following that, we're going to look upon him as a temple builder. And then the fourth part, with great reluctance, we're going to look upon his, if I could say this, latter years, which were not good at all. But we're going to look in this episode, and we can entitle it, The Formation of a King. Now, David, of course, was a man after God's own heart. As I said, he was anointed 3 times, he was called of God, he was chosen of God, and he was found faithful. And he indeed brought the kingdom into rest. And so, here God gives him a son. And for about 19 years, David and Bathsheba have this young boy and then young man, and they spend a lot of time with him, training him for the position that he is destined of God to occupy. Now, David had other sons, and one of them was Adonijah, who in actuality became the eldest son, because Absalom and Ammon prior to that had died. And so Adonijah would normally have taken the kingship, being the firstborn. But God had ordained Solomon to be king. But the reason I mention Adonijah is this, that Adonijah was never reproved by David. He could do exactly what he wanted, because he wasn't destined for kingship. And yet Solomon was carefully trained. And the point that I want to bring out here is this, that in our own lives, if we are destined by God for high office, if we are destined by God for, if I could say this, eternal positions, then God is going to chastise us. He's going to train us very carefully. We're going to know the disciplines of God. But if we treat lightly the things of God, then God will just let us go in our own ways. Well, Adonijah was not chosen of God, but God knows the hearts of each man. But Solomon was, and therefore the two brothers, if I could say this, half-brothers actually, these two brothers were treated very differently by David. We're told distinctly that David did not discipline Adonijah. Adonijah could just do what he wanted. But Solomon was very different, because Solomon was destined to be king of Israel, and therefore he had to have a very disciplined upbringing. Well, what did this disciplined upbringing consist of? As you know, Solomon was a very prolific writer. He wrote 1,005 songs, and 5 of those are conserved in the book called the Song of Songs. In actuality, it's his first book. It expresses his love for the Lord. And then the second book was a compilation of about 900 proverbs of the 3,000 proverbs that King Solomon wrote during his lifetime. And that manifested the wisdom of God. And then the third book is the book of Ecclesiastes. And that depicts Solomon in his, if I could say this, declining years. Well, the book of Proverbs I like to look at with you at this time, because the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are a compilation of the teachings of David and Bathsheba that they gave to Solomon to prepare him for kingship. And therefore these first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are of deep interest for each one of us, because in the book of Revelation it speaks, and the Apostle John speaks, of the fact that God hath made us kings and priests to rule and reign in eternity with him. And so the destiny of God's people is to be, as it were, kings and priests. And therefore, we need to understand the formation that Solomon passed through that he might become king. And therefore, these 9 chapters are of consummate interest to us, because as we immerse ourselves in these 9 chapters, it will form, as it were, the character of Christ, the character of, if I could say this, a king and a priest that God wants us to be throughout eternity. Well now, what is the book of Proverbs? Well, the book of Proverbs was compiled for a very real reason. In Proverbs chapter 1 it said it was to instruct the simple. It was to give instruction in wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. All things that a king must indeed be trained in. But then also, these 9 chapters, if I could say so, were teachings concerning some very important truths that a king must learn. And first of all, it comprised faithfulness to parents. Now, how important it is for us to be faithful to our parents. That is the 5th commandment. It is the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days shall be long upon earth. Well, what basically does faithfulness to parents consist of? Well, we could say this. Number 1, submission. We have to be submitted to our parents. Jesus Christ, we're told, you know, after his appearance in the temple at the age of 12, he then submitted himself to his father Joseph and Mary his mother, and they instructed him and trained him in the ways of God. And so parents are very important indeed. Therefore we see continually, for example in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, David starts off with, "My son, forget not my law, nor let thine heart, and let thine heart keep my commandments." In other words, this is one of the things that David trained Solomon in, to listen carefully to his commandments. For after all, David was king, and he knew what a king should be, and moreover, he was a type of Christ. For Christ himself humbled himself to be called the Son of David. And therefore, in a very real sense, you know, we could say this, that David was the ideal teacher in this art or craft of kingmanship. Well, then another important thing is this. Solomon was the son of David's old age. And throughout the scripture, you can see so often that the son of the old age was very favored. He was, after all, mature. He had, if I could say this, been born when his father was at a ripe old age. And therefore his father would impart in to him that maturity that he possessed. And another son of the old age was, of course, Joseph. And Joseph became also, like Solomon, the head of a country. Well, we move on. Another thought is this, obedience. How important it is to obey our parents. And this was one of the instructions that David gave to Solomon. This thought of obedience to what he was saying. And then he says, the years of thy life shall be many. So therefore, obedience to parents is of prime importance. It honors God, because parents, after all, symbolize, the father symbolizes God, and the mother symbolizes the church. And these are the two aspects that we are to learn obedience to. We are to learn obedience to God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and also to the teachings of the church. Another aspect that David was very insistent upon, that Solomon understood, was diligence. You know, it is so important that we understand the value of diligence in life. You know, a while ago I was asking the Lord to speak to me, to show me himself. And one of the aspects that the Lord showed me concerning his own life was that he was disciplined. You know, the 12 apostles are called the 12 disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower, but is a disciplined follower of a teacher. And discipline is one of the things that we have to learn. We have to be disciplined in our lives. And in a certain sense, piety and discipline are the same things. You know, a pious person is a disciplined person who indeed is very careful of the life that he lives, and that he is careful indeed to keep the commandments of God. So, to keep them with all diligence, that's what David said to Solomon. You know, apply yourself with all diligence to the words of God. Well, then, another thing that David spoke to Solomon concerning was the curse of evil companionship. You know, the Apostle Paul brings this out in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. He said, evil companionship corrupts good manners. Whom we walk with will indeed affect us. It is said in the positive sense that he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. And therefore, one of the things in life that we have to be very careful of indeed is who our companions are, because we will be like them. Have you ever thought of this? One bad apple ruins the whole box. Well, we've got to be careful that the companionship that we choose is the companionship of those who are following wholeheartedly the Lord. Now then, comes another important teaching, both of David and Bathsheba. And Bathsheba's an interesting person too, because she was a granddaughter of Ahitophel, one of the counselors of David, who incidentally turned against David because he had defiled his granddaughter. But Ahitophel was a counselor. Ahitophel was spoken of in these words, that when you came to him for counsel, it was like coming to an angel of God. And so the grandfather had indeed given unto his granddaughter an awareness of the things of God. And Bathsheba certainly was, if I could say this, a teacher. She was a Bible woman. She understood the ways of God and the laws of God, though she broke them when she went with David. But these two realized, David and Bathsheba, the kind of weakness that they had given to Solomon. And of course, it was a weakness of sensuality. And so, permeated through these chapters, these first nine chapters, are warnings after warnings to King Solomon concerning the dangers of the strange woman. And he was warned not only by David and Solomon, David and Bathsheba, but also the very laws of God, you know, given by Moses, said in a very real sense that a king was not to multiply wives unto himself. And so David and Bathsheba warned him and warned him and warned him. And, you know, that is something that we have to hearken to also, because, you know, strange women, or for the women, strange men, where are they? They're actually in the church. You see, that's where the danger is, in the congregation of the righteous. Because there are scriptures after scriptures, for example, in chapter 5 and verses 1 to 4, and verse 14, where it says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. And we have got to watch those who it is spoken of in chapter 2 and verses 12 to 13, who have been taught the things of God, but who depart from the paths of righteousness. The danger for young men and young women is not so much those who are outside the church, but those who are in the church and have allowed their hearts to be hardened and have turned away into sensuality. Well, he was warned and warned and warned. And yet Solomon, of course, as we well know, did not pay diligent heed to the teachings of David and Bathsheba in this matter. Then there was another aspect that David spoke of in these chapters, and it was strife. You know, strife and its fruits. Well, he said in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 30, he said, strive not with a man without cause. You know, strife produces its fruit of jealousy, hardness, anger, envy. And so we are told by the Apostle Paul, when writing to Timothy, that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. So therefore we want to ask God to work out in our own hearts gentleness, so that we do not strive or produce strife in our companions. Now then, another warning that David gave to King Solomon was the errors of greed. The errors of greed. And we have got to be so careful, because what do people strive for? Well, people essentially strive for happiness. And they think that getting money will give them happiness. But, you know, the Apostle Paul warns in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. The root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And yet Solomon did not heed this either, because he surely was the richest man who ever lived. And those riches were one reason for his downfall. And so we have got to be very careful indeed that the love of money doesn't come into our own heart. True, we need money. Money is answereth all things in a certain sense. But it's the love of money that we've got to be careful of. And after all, you know, Solomon, as we shall see later on in our studies, he was extremely rich. But he went on to say, well, vanity is vanity. You know, all my riches, who am I going to leave them to? And, you know, it also speaks of the fact, well, King David spoke in the Psalms concerning the fact that money has wings. It flies away. It flies away. It will never satisfy. And so one of the things that we have to be very careful of indeed is this greed, the love of money. Because the love of money also has its outlets in immorality. So often those who are greedy of money, then lust takes over and they fall into immorality. Well, what is the antidote, if I could say this, to money, the love of money? Well, King David gives it in a very clear cut manner. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 9 to 10, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke in this wise. He said, "Give, and it shall be given unto thee." You know, if we have an open hand, rather than seeking to accumulate wealth for ourselves, but we are open-handed and we give, you know, we shall never lack. And being open-handed and giving produces, if I could say this, in our hearts a purity concerning riches. In other words, they mean nothing to us. But oh, what riches we shall have in heaven above if we give. For in giving we will not only receive in this earth, but also in heaven above. Well, he gave the antidotes to those sins and those trials. And yet Solomon, you know, having been instructed by perhaps two of the best teachers the world has ever had, David and Bathsheba, yet he did not listen to them. But also, we find this, that David pleaded with Solomon, and he said, "Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." You know, wisdom is a way of life, and we will discuss this in the next episode. But I want to plead with you, you know, during this closing minute or two of this episode, you know, study those 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs. They are full of instruction that will put us on the pathway of righteousness and give us true contentment. Because Paul said, "Godliness with contentment is gain." And therefore, he also warns about those who feel that gain is godliness. Having plenty of money doesn't mean to say that God is blessing you. Solomon had money galore, but oh, what a miserable life he ended up with. So, may I just say this in closing. Please obey your parents. Obey your parents. Please do not strive. Please look after the sins of sensuality. Ask God to create in you a pure heart, even as David did. And then, if you will do those things, and you will give, and not seek to accumulate, I tell you this, you will have riches beyond anything this world can ever have. You will have such contentment and such peace and such joy in your heart that the riches of this world can never buy. So please do, I plead with you, consider these first 9 chapters, immerse yourself in them, and you will have wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And your feet will be on the pathway of righteousness. And you will have a joy that the world can never take away from you. God bless you.